On this week's episode of Six Stars Only, we're deconstructing the YouTube channel How Rich Are They? And discuss how we can add our own personal style and flair to our own content. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Six Stars Only, the podcast where two friends, Matt and Jake. Matt, how's it going, man?
Man, it's a blast and a delight. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. But yeah, this is the podcast where we pretty much just talk about how to make better content. So we learn in public with you guys, and we look to the video world, famous content creators, and we take what they do well. We try to apply it to our own content to make stuff that does not suck and to make something a little bit better each week. And this week, I'm really excited. I say that every single episode, but I am really excited.
That we're doing, I mean, where we kind of break down channels, talk about what's working, things that they could do better. It's one of my favorite segments that we've started doing. It's just fun to talk about. Hopefully, you guys have been enjoying it too. But if anything, I'm having a blast because this is really, really fun. And I get to talk about some of my very favorite creators.
Exactly. Yeah. And like last time with Red Letter Media, and I'll just go out, I'll come out and say it. This channel deconstruction episode is of the YouTube channel How Rich Are They? And Matt, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but Matt really showed me, I'm pretty positive you were the first one to show me, like, hey, like, you have to watch this video. You showed me the way, and I was like, which I always say this every time, but when Matt tells me something because I'm a terrible friend, I'm like, it really can't be that. I'm just a hipster, just jerk of a friend where I'm like, it can't be that good. And it was fantastic. And I've been watching ever since. So if you can just in like one sentence, or that's kind of tough, just kind of elaborate, like how would you explain what, how Rich Are They is, and just kind of like, what the content is.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of almost like a joke channel, but it's a very well executed joke channel. So basically, the entire thesis of this channel basically is, it'll be some famous person like a rapper or a basketball player, so like Steph Curry or Kanye West or someone else. And you've probably been sitting around with your friends at some point and thought, hey, Kanye West has sold a lot of songs and he's pretty rich. I wonder how rich he is. And usually the conversation will stop there, or you'll look him up on Wikipedia or something. But what he did is basically took that question, something that a lot of people probably type into YouTube or search or something, and made this like goofy video and kind of like a persona. And we've seen people do this tactic before, like in Red Letter Media things. But he has this persona called Alfred, your boy Alfred. And he just uses like this weird like robot Mac voice that kind of comes stock on like OS X computers. And he goes through basically like a short, kind of funny, off the cuff history of this person's big achievements and all the money they've made at major milestones, and talks about basically how rich they are. And kind of just like a funny short form way, just like a 5-minute video. And they're weirdly addicting. I don't know how, but like, once I discovered this channel, I probably binge watched like 20 in a row. It was just so quirky. I don't know. What drew you into this channel?
Pretty much the same thing. And if I could say one thing, I guess the main theme, if I could call it that, is just the style and the flair that they bring to what seems like a really simple, and it is, it's a really simple idea and a simple concept of what you just said of, okay, here's a famous person and, here's how they made their money. Here's how they got famous. Okay. Like, what can you do with that? Well, your boy Alfred, just these little quirks and these things that just make it different. That's all. It's just so addicting, and it's done so very well. And we'll kind of dive into that later, but I'm going to give you guys some quick stats, kind of more just about the channel that I was able to find on YouTube, TubeBuddy. We are not sponsored by TubeBuddy, but if anyone from YouTube is watching, or TubeBuddy, whoever made it, please sponsor us, because I would really welcome that. But yeah, it's a free tool you can download, TubeBuddy. Gives you insights to SEO, to subscribers of your favorite channels, and it compares it with yours, which really puts me to shame because I have like 75. But I'll give you the quick stats. So How Rich Are They has 132,000 subscribers. So in my mind, very successful, but I am, other than me liking the channel, I like how we're kind of going over them, because they're not a mega huge popular channel, if that makes sense. They're not like Red Letter Media, they're not like a PewDiePie or a Casey Neistat, where they have 10 million subscribers. They have a relatively modest, what sounds crazy to say, 132,000. I am getting way too excited. I'm talking over myself. So 132,000 subscribers, 31 million total views, though, which when you put that into, you know, perspective, like, man, so many freaking people have watched this guy's content. It's mind-blowing.
A lot of eyeballs. And a lot of eyeballs. Clearly on the stuff he's putting out.
Exactly, yeah. And for 410 total videos, this guy makes a lot of videos, and he churns them out. I'll explore into that later.
And hasn't been doing them super long either. Some of these channels have been around for, like, since the inception of YouTube. But he really, or whoever made this channel, really hasn't been doing it for that long. It's been maybe like a couple of years.
It's been a relatively quick turnaround. And his most popular video is How Rich, I mentioned Casey Neistat earlier, is How Rich is Casey Neistat? And that video clocks in at 1.17 million views, has 742 total comments. Just
by
last
the way,
month.
How Rich is Casey Neistat? My stat, apparently.
My stat. I honestly don't remember because I just looked at the title of the video. I'm a bad podcast. I watched the Kanye West one, and there's one on Baker Mayfield, which is close to our hearts.
Oh, really?
There is one, yeah.
Oh, they're all richer than me, man.
Yeah. Basically, if you're on How Rich Are They's channel, then you've made it. And that's my goal one day, is to be on How Rich Are They's channel. But anyway, so last month alone, they gained 585 subscribers on June 8th, which is on TubeBuddy. And that was the day he released the video. And I'm trying to think of a way to pronounce this. 6ix9ine leaves the country within 48 hours after beef with Chief Keef's cousin, Tato. Rolls right off the tongue. Maybe we should talk with him about cleaning up those titles. Even though it worked, evidently, because that video currently has 775,000 views, which kind of spurred that growth.
Is he doing like People Magazine style?
He kind of is, and I have that as a note later, but I kind of want to dive into that now. We can kind of hit on it. But so part of the reason why I love this channel so much is that you kind of know what to expect. We didn't mention it earlier, he kind of uses a computerized, almost a Microsoft Sam type voice where it's like a British sounding dude. I don't know why, but it's freaking hilarious. Like, I love that.
Do the voice, Jake. Just do the voice.
Baker Mayfield made $900,000. It's that fake
$900,000. How
with
rich
your boy
is
Alfred.
Baker Mayfield? None of the best are doing it right, but
we're not doing it justice. Just look it up online, but that's what gives it, like I mentioned earlier, that's what gives it its flavor, its personality. It's different other than just some guy. He could have maybe a great sounding voice, but it's
so bad
kind
of
weird.
If it were a normal dude talking, I think I'd get really annoyed at him, but because it's so bad, I almost have to watch it at first, but then you keep watching and it's like a bad brand of potato chips. It's like, this tastes weird. And then the more you, like, the deeper down the bag you get, you're like, well, it kind of has a rustic flair to it. And then you're just hooked in.
Yeah, because, like you mentioned, the videos are pretty short. So they're only...
Walk me through, it might be helpful to walk through kind of the anatomy of a How Rich Are They video. Kind of, like, give us a little, a little picture. A little packet. Like, what does an average video kind of look like?
Yeah, so kind of like Matt mentioned, they're kind of like video essay styles, and by that I mean, if you look at my channel, which shameless plug, it's very similar. Where it's a voiceover overlaid with either stock footage or say it's a video on Casey Neistat. So it's footage of Casey Neistat, and it starts at the beginning. Casey Neistat was born in wherever he was born, because I'm a bad researcher, I don't remember. But, it goes through his beginnings and into his career, basically, overlaid with, text, some basic kind of edits, nothing way too flashy. So, it's really simple, and, it's around 5 minutes long, which is something I'll talk about later. I think they could be way longer than 5 minutes, but...
Yeah.
But where it really shines, I think, is the, like we mentioned, with it, this strange, weird, robotic voice, but with pretty witty jokes. Like, sometimes he just drops, he's serious, where it's actual factual information. That rhymes. That sounds pretty cool. Actual factual information, but with a drizzle of sarcasm and jokes, and just, it's very funny to where it's just wrapped up to where you learn something, but it's also... It's just well done. It's well written stuff, and adding in that, you know, that that style that makes it, that separates it from just some random dude talking a computerized voice, it's just, it makes it addicting. And what I've noticed is that he's very TMZ, People Magazine, like you mentioned. And I cannot believe this, but his normal speaking voice, he just, hey, what's up, guys? Watch my video.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I'm getting way too, like, amped about this. But I, when I saw doing research for this, his newest videos, and don't get me wrong, I mean, if you like, I mean, God bless him, he wants to do that. I don't like it, and I want him to not do that anymore. So, Alfred, if you're watching, please, and he still might be doing, it might just be he's kind of venturing off into a few videos like that, and he's still going to do the How Rich Are They format. Please don't abandon the format of How Rich Are They with Alfred and the, you know, robotic voice, please, because that's, I think, your bread and butter, and just don't abandon that, because I've noticed that recently, and it makes me really sad, because, like you mentioned, I love binge watching with your boy Alfred, all his deets on Casey Neistat, Kanye, Steph Curry. There's videos, but they're fantastic.
It's kind of interesting because he kind of has a signature style, and when he switches voices or he switches styles, it kind of feels like a bait and switch. I can see it both ways though, because on the other hand, I think there are, and we can probably talk about like kind of what separates his channel from the rest and like what makes it successful. But I think one of the things is just kind of, you know, celebrity interest and intrigue and, oh, these people are rich and they live differently. And how many Lambos does LeBron James own? And, you know, and people kind of are fascinated by this, which is what I think the angle he's going with, which, you know, celebrity TMZ style drama kind of things. But I guess kind of the reason I was so hooked on his channel is that he took this celebrity intrigue thing that I'm normally not into. I don't like leaf through, you know, National Enquirer at the supermarket checkout aisle. But I kind of loved watching these videos because it was so sort of anti-TMZ in some ways. It was just like this weird, quirky, ironic format. But I still got to be like weirdly interested in, you know, some celebrity that I knew nothing about. And they're like,
exactly. Yeah.
And so it kind of let me like have that guilty pleasure while not like kind of having to subscribe to like all the like weird like tabloid magazine stuff that came with it. And this kind of feels like he's just sort of stooping to that level. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. And that's a perfect just analogy for taking something that, you know, you're used to, it's been overexposed, and turning it on its head. And that just makes it what separates it from every other video of its kind. And it's actually a really huge inspiration of my own channel, which is, except, you know, he has actual information and you can kind of learn from his videos. You can learn nothing from my videos. It's all joke. There's no actual kind of, you know, substance of, I mean, it's substance. I mean, I'm chatting in my videos. It, you know, not real information, but I love his style and, you know, I've kind of modeled it somewhat loosely. You know, obviously the subject matter is different, but yeah, I just feel like it's a big mistake to an extent. And don't get me wrong, he can do whatever he wants. He's obviously, he has the subscribers, but yeah, it's just, why go away from your signature style? I feel like it's so difficult, and this is something, you know, we can kind of discuss here, but you know, when you're first starting out making content, and I guess maybe he's got to a point to where, you know, he's found his voice, he's found his style. A lot of people don't have it at first. I mean, and that's kind of like when you're making stuff, that's why you need to be consistent and kind of just push through, is that you'll eventually kind of find your own voice and find what makes your right. videos unique from someone else's. So I feel like it's a tragedy. It's way too strong, but it's sad to kind of move on from that when it's so unique. I haven't really found many videos like his. So it's kind of disappointing in a weird way that he, so many of his videos are just like clickbaity title looking like, look, whatever, but basically just go online and look at his channel. And even just the titles themselves are very, what look like clickbait, you know, like we talked, I think was it 1 or 2 weeks ago, 2 podcasts on, there's a fine line between making titles that are eye catching and eye popping
Right. You still want to have a high click rate. You want to engage interest. You want to hook people in. But there's a fine line between, you know,
exactly
making something interesting, have an interesting angle and a hook and grabbing attention, and sort of verging into abusing attention or click throughs that are just, you know, kind of vapid and empty and don't really lead to much value to the end viewer. Now, with, you know, celebrity gossip and things, I mean, it may be kind of pointless anyways, because I mean, how much, I mean, are you really going to make the world
that's a good
that
point,
much of a better place? I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, with the territory to some extent, I think. But before we get too deep into sort of things that aren't working or things that could go better, let's talk about the good old days, the classic, yeah, how rich the are classic. They videos, and sort of why that stable of videos works, you know, because it's kind of like the Nike Air Jordans, right? It had like a good long run of a good thing, and we should focus on the long line.
Focus
of
on
those.
The good times, yeah.
And I think one of the first things, I mean, that just stands out to me about those, you probably have some different thoughts on this, but just kind of my thought off the cuff, my gut, is just like, he has a great sense for just like that one kernel of an idea, which is like, like, I really want to know how much money famous athletes, rappers, and celebrities make, you know, and being able to take information that is essentially like totally oatmeal and generic, you know, it's basically like he's like reading a slimmed down Wikipedia article. But the way that he pairs it with things and the quirky off the wall humor and sort of his like humble bragging, and this weird robot voice kind of all come together to make this something special out of seemingly very normal, pieces. You know, it's kind of like that scene in the Pixar classic movie Ratatouille where the rat chef, whatever, takes all the plain ingredients and makes this amazing, like, 5-star, you know, tear-inducing meal out of like normal ingredients. It's like that. It's everything's normal, everything's plain, but it's arranged in a way that is like, perfect. That's so, it's just felt fresh.
Yeah, exactly. And like I mentioned earlier, it's taking an idea that seems mundane and just flipping it on its head. And I feel like the way, I would assume, 99% sure that, you know, just the writing and I guess the process that he has to making these videos. I mean, you know, they're short, they're 5 minutes long, but I would assume there has to be some scripting, some, you know, care he has to take to, you know, just kind of write these out, because like you mentioned, it's nuggets of, like, you know, real information, but it's just so off the wall and offbeat. There's just kind of like these one liners, like just these random kind of tidbit jokes. Like, they're not even jokes. They're just like kind of offhanded comments. Like, you're not really expecting, but it fits so well, and it just makes it hilarious. And his whole thing, you know, like at the end, the humble bragging where it's like, you know, actually I met Kanye West in 19, you know, like he was, you know, we were hanging out. It sounds.
Yeah. I was hanging with Kanye in his condo in LA. And that's when I gave him the idea to become a rapper. Yeah. Boy Alfred. Yeah. Just like weird stuff like that. It's like, okay, you did not teach LeBron James how to slam dunk, but we'll believe you because it's funny.
It's hilarious. And like when I say it just out loud, it's like, okay, that's not funny at all. But in the video, it's so well crafted and like wrapped all together that it just makes it something special, like you mentioned. And it makes it very bingeable too, where like you finish one video and that's kind of where, you know, the relatively short length of the videos kind of goes one right into the other. It's like chips. We've used this analogy before, but it's like Pringles or like Lay's, where it's you have one. It's like, oh man, I have to watch like 5 more How Rich Are They videos. Or like I scroll through, oh, Baker Mayfield, this is someone I recognize. Like there's a lot of rappers I don't recognize. And that's, you know, that's the benefit of him kind of using the almost TMZ, you know, celebrity, is that they're relevant people. You know, it's not some random deep cut, you know, like David Byrne guy from like, you know, the 60s. It's like, hey, these are people in the news right now.
Right.
People are searching.
That people are searching for right now that are in the trending tab, and it'll pop up in suggestions. And so there's a lot of things in the algorithm that I think are working for him. A lot of things just in people's attention that he can clue in, because he has, this is, I think, he just executes the House Hunter style of like structuring his YouTube videos really well. And when I say House Hunters, I mean, like, if you've ever seen like any kind of basically any show on HGTV that is like ever run with realtors where people are trying to find a house, it's the exact same show. Like, don't pretend it's not. We all know it is. We're all in on the joke, but it's, you know, here's the structure of the show if you've never seen it before. Introduce realtor. Realtor is meeting a fill in the blank couple. They are looking for a home, right? And they have this list of all these things they want. We're going to look at three homes, and then they're going to pick one of those homes. And it's like, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. They're going to look at one home and they'll be like, oh, I dislike it a lot, but it's too expensive. They'll look at another house. Oh, I like it, but the kitchen's the size of a closet and it's way too small. And then you look at the last one and like, oh, well, I do like this home. And then they buy that home, you know, after some suspense, or they'll go back and forth between the three and then they pick it. But it's the exact same show. You just swap out the people and the location, and then you have a thousand shows that are all basically the same. And this is basically what he's doing. And having this very formulaic video with very similar things, you have enough consistency that you know exactly what to expect, but enough freshness with new characters and new things that are going on and these cool experiences, that it's enough to pull you into the next one and keep you coming back.
That's good, yeah. And I think that also ties in with that framework that's already established helps make, I guess it just helps with him making more videos to an extent, and like in my mindset. And that's where I want to go kind of into one thing that I think separates him from most other, you know, people on YouTube is his insane consistency, which is, and that's, you know, most famous people on YouTube, most people that have kind of broken through are very, they're very consistent. Whether it's, you know, once a week, a few times a week, but check this out. So he basically, from what I've been able to find, he releases a video almost once, like every single day. So this past month alone, obviously 30 days in a month, 30 days have September, April, June, you know, the whole thing. But he had 22 videos in the past month. And on the 4th, he released two videos. So he's making good content, but it's a lot of it. And I feel like having that sort of mundane, seemingly simple, bland oatmeal, like you mentioned, kind of framework, you know, it's kind of like I'm said Tom Ford, the replaceable parts where, you know, you have the basic idea in mind, the basic length, but you just kind of swap out a famous person. I cannot talk tonight. Famous person each time. But you pepper in some variety each time,
totally.
and you're able to ship it out, and you're able to ship it out very consistently. And since they are people that are in the news, they're the algorithm, people that it likes, you know, that are brought up in search, it just builds and builds and builds, and it creates this tidal wave, because there's a lot of videos that only have a few thousand views that he's released a few days ago, which would be, you know, it's still good for, like, in, you know, for me, because only like my highest few count as like 10,000 maybe, but since he releases it so often that they're just able to build, and just kind of like it's that avalanche to where it's just insane consistency. And
yeah, and they don't all have to be hits either, because what he's done exactly is he's created an idea factory, basically, right? He has the exact process he goes through to find graphics, write scripts, do his witty endings. They're all pretty similar. And you just take an interesting person who has a lot of interest on them right now, who's super hot in the news, and you pop them in the idea factory, you run them through your Alfred script, and boom, you have a YouTube video. And maybe if you release 10 of those, maybe, you know, 7 of those only get a handful of views. But the 1, 2, or 3 that of those may actually catch on and get a lot of attention. And it's interesting. Like, that's kind of how the founder of this company called WordStream, Larry Kim, likes to think about social media marketing and content. He calls it looking for unicorns, right? And so his whole approach to doing anything, whether it's creating a new version of your website, or it's coming up with a new idea for a blog post or a video or something like that, he says, you know, just don't spend a lot of time trying to create the perfect thing. Instead, you should create like 10 of them, create a bunch of them, and let your audience tell you what's working and what's not. and look for that unicorn that produces, you know, 10 times more results than your normal one, instead of obsessing over every single one. And then you can learn from that and do more. And basically just getting that feedback and creating a lot in order to let the winners rise to the top, and then go and bet big on those winners and promote the heck out of them and really double down on those, which I think is an interesting way to do it. And I think some of those same effects and principles may have helped your boy Alfred as well.
Yeah, definitely. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's not necessarily a right or wrong question, because it's just something that I'm kind of battling internally with myself. So on that subject, obviously, it is very, very important to have consistency. And like you just mentioned, being able to just kind of ship a lot of different videos out helps out a lot. But obviously, so the longer a video is, normally, the longer it will take to produce if you want to make it, you know, good. So like, his video is around, I mentioned earlier, about 5 minutes or so. And, you know, depending on how much graphics or what have you, voiceover, like, you know, that might depend on how often he's able to make, you know, push it out. Because, you know, a longer video is, the longer it'll take to edit. And so we discussed last time about how usually longer videos get higher viewer retention.
Right.
So my question is, and this is just, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but if you had to choose, which I don't know why you would have to, is it better to make fewer videos that are longer that we can focus on viewer retention, audience retention, or is it better to focus on just making more videos that are quicker to edit, quicker to, you know, just push out, that might have a little bit less viewer retention? But like I mentioned, you're just able to push so many out. Like, is there like a, like, is there anyone that's better than the other, do you think? Or yeah, has there been anything that you read on that? Or,
I mean, obviously, your mileage is going to vary. The correct answer is it depends, but that's kind of a lame answer. So let's go a step
not
beyond
good enough,
that.
Matt. Yeah.
Called out again. No, but I think the way I would think through this is really, I think there's an interesting parallel in like the startup world. So kind of like if you're building software or trying to validate an idea, there's this thing called the lean methodology. And the whole point of the lean methodology is basically to create, like if you're creating an app or something, you shouldn't, if you're creating a calendar app, you should, the idea if you're doing this following the lean methodology is you shouldn't create like a full, spend 18 months, you know, just like making this thing and making it picture perfect and putting all the bells and whistles and features on before you show it to someone and get feedback. Instead, you should build the, when you're just starting out from scratch, start with the barest bones version, with only the things that are going to produce the most value with the least amount of time to validate, is this idea for a calendar app or whatever really valuable? Will people pay for it? Will they use it a lot? Will it be something that I should invest more time in and build on extra features and do those things? Because honestly, those features and those things don't matter if people aren't going to use it and pay for it and get a lot of value from it. And so I think you could approach the kind of the same thing to videos, because there's also this other side of it that I hadn't really experienced or heard of until recently, until I started working at a startup and doing more reading and different things. And that's that the lean methodology of, you know, going really fast, making a really like bare bones version of your first creation and getting feedback works really well when you're starting from nothing or you have a small audience. If you have a large audience, it's much, much harder to do because you've set an expectation and people are, your reputation can be tarnished if you release something that looks and works poorly. And so in that sense, you kind of have to put in more polish and more thought and get more feedback behind the scenes if you try something radically new in a lot of cases. Or, you know, if one of the top YouTube creators, you know, if Casey Neistat releases a video and it, you know, he's normally known for like putting a lot of editing in, having good storytelling, and he just puts out a total crap video and it doesn't match his stuff at all, people are going to be like, whoa, like Casey Neistat, like, has no idea what he's doing anymore. He's completely, actually, it'd probably start a whole craze. People would be like, yeah, bad videos are the new good videos. You should never use good lighting in your video. I don't know. But it would just seem off because he's built a brand, an expectation, sort of a trust with his audience that, hey, these are how my videos are going to work. I think it's the same thing with videos. I think at the beginning, when you're starting out, it's better to do whatever it takes to find the kernel of an idea that is really going to resonate with people, where people are latching on, they're finding you in search, you're getting good feedback on your video, people are watching all the way through, things like that. And once you find that, invest in making that better and longer and great. If you already have an audience built up, it probably makes less sense to just throw something out there and have it be totally not developed. I think you have to be more strategic about how you do it. But those are my ramblings. What do you think?
I agree. No, I don't know. Like you mentioned, I mean, I can't really phrase it any better than you have, because you're just a lot more knowledgeable than me. But I thought it was really fascinating how you mentioned, you know, when you create, you know, videos of a certain quality that obviously you put a lot of time with it. So let me just say, there's a lot of YouTubers I like a whole lot, and JonTron is one. He got in trouble recently, but he makes really good, really high quality, like production, looks like studio audience-esque videos now. And now he's allowed to kind of do it now because he has a ginormous audience, but he's only making videos once, like every 6 months now, it seems like. And I just think it's fascinating how, like, I'm kind of going more meta, almost, you know, Ralph Bellevue-esque of, you know, analyzing what is professor. Media. Yeah, but of...
good old Ralph.
It's just fascinating how you get to a certain point where you mentioned you can't go back anymore, so where you can only kind of...
You can only increase. It has to be with new rules. You have to have a new channel.
Exactly, yeah.
Or you got to, like, show it to people behind the scenes. But if you just put it out there, I mean... then you just have like a...
It just looks bad, and it sets a bad precedent. And I feel like JonTron and Angry Video Game Nerd is someone else who I love a whole lot, but they've just, over the years, they've added and added and added, just made these quality, you know, great lighting, effects, like stunt doubles, everything. Like, it's super, it looks like a TV show, basically. But it's kind of... It's weird, because obviously it just takes so much longer to make those videos, which in turn makes it longer for each video to come out, to where it's almost like, you know, this, like a second season of like Stranger Things, where it's in 6 months, you know, you'll expect another YouTube video from this guy that's like 9 minutes. And I just think it's interesting how, I mean, that's way off in the future, but that's just like a concept that it's really fascinating to me. And I guess that is another benefit of starting out, like you mentioned. You don't necessarily, you're not boxed in. If you don't really have an audience, it kind of sucks because you don't really have an audience. But at the same time, you're able to try different things. And you mentioned just that finding that one nugget and then like, okay, this works. People like this a lot. How can I take this and run with this and be like your boy Alfred and
as we
spin
all want
it on
to
its
do.
Head? I want to be him, essentially. I want to have a robot voice because this voice is just not cutting it. But just taking that idea, you know, twisting it, spinning it, and just playing around with it, and then, you know, from there, kind of slowly increase the quality and the production value. But yeah, that's sort of my rant and ramble. Get back on track a little bit. So last time with the Red Letter Media, in our last video deconstruction, video takedown, whatever we call it, I forgot already. So we discussed, what do you think they can do, in our opinion, to grow their channel and to make their channel better? Is there anything off the top of your head?
I do have thoughts on this. Yeah. I think the TMZ thing, we've already talked about how we don't like it. And so here are some alternatives I think they could do. One would be your channel is literally called How Rich Are They? Not what dumb celebrity gossip has happened in the last 48 hours that I should know about. And so do more of that, but expand the types of interesting people you're talking about. I would love like a How Rich Was George Washington video. Do like rich
good.
People throughout history, you know, like tell me how rich Plato was. I don't know. Just like go through some different stuff. Or expand on that, like keep that interest angle, you know, of celebrities and like interesting people and kind of like running through major events there, and do maybe different types of people, you know. You're mainly doing like rappers and athletes right now, but you know, you could expand into other more obscure things, whether you can switch either the rich aspect to some other aspect, or you could, like I said, just go to people throughout history. How rich is like Harry Potter, like fictional characters, things like that. I think that's an interesting route to go. And then I think another thing that would be more interesting is like kind of building more of a backstory into the character of Alfred, because it's so subtly referenced. It might be hard to do, but I feel like with Alfred, he's kind of doing this, kind of breaking the fourth, well, not even breaking the fourth wall, but just kind of this, kind of how Plinkett was this weird, not really likable character, but just a memorable character that kind of narrated the viewer through other, like, otherwise dense information and kind of was able to be a pattern interrupt. I think Alfred could be more of that, and that may allow him to even, like, extend the length of his videos, get into maybe more dense content or more content that isn't so TMZ flashy news of the day type of thing. I think that might be interesting. I'd love to see him try and see how that would work. But what do you think, Jake?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I agree with all your points. Mine are a little bit more just the kind of simple practical things. I looked on his channel for his playlist. He doesn't have that many playlists, and the ones he does have don't tie together. Like, he has one for like NBA athletes. I'm looking at his channel.
Which you would think he would, especially with how many videos he has.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a, so there's one called, there's his liked videos. There's one playlist called Car Guys, one called Rappers, and one for the NBA.
And those tell me nothing, really.
Yeah, and like there's so many other people, athletes, singers. But I'm going to take a step back to what you mentioned about the TMZ thing. So this is how I mentioned earlier, just about the crazy. And again, I'm not trying to dump on the guy. I love this guy's channel. But I'm looking at the most recent videos, and he's been releasing just a lot of videos, man. But here's the title of his most recent video. It was just dropped as if it's an album 43 minutes ago. Tory Lanez punches, all caps, a fan for unknown reason while performing. Let me read this again. In hometown. What? Like, that's not.
That I have Twitter for that.
I care nothing about that. And the video is 2.5 minutes long. And it's just, it's weird to see. And this goes into my other kind of suggestion to make it better. Is just, I would like to see more fleshed out videos. That's really vague, like you mentioned. More like a more historical George Washington. How rich was George Washington? How rich was it Mansa Musa, like a king from, like, you know, like the Songhai Empire?
Even going more in depth, because he only goes over like the points when they made money. I would watch like a 20-minute long "How rich are they?" like story of like Chance the Rapper's life, where you go in depth and pull stuff from all the interviews and do like
that would be
long
fantastic
form. But yeah, it would be great. Or like, I would totally keep watching that because I kind of enjoy the style. If you use some pattern interrupts and changed it up and did some new segments, and I don't know, there, I feel like there's just more that could be done.
Exactly. Or do like rap groups, like just do like, or like, you know, how rich he does, like Seth Curry, or, you know, basic like NBA, just doing like a historical.
Yeah. Pair him up. Do like who's
with
richer.
His flair. Yeah. Like who's richer.
If
you
added
so
up,
and so,
you know, the 1975 Lakers to the 2018 Lakers, like,
yeah, like,
you know,
adjusted
for
inflation.
Yeah. Who would be richer, you know? I don't know. There's something we could do there.
There's so much stuff that he could do, and it's just, man, it's as if like I am like a disappointed father. It's just so weird because I don't know the guy. And
I'm not mad.
He's successful.
I'm just disappointed.
But so the last How Rich Are They video was 1 month ago. How rich is Gary Vee? Which has 1,800 views. Then I mentioned earlier the when he got 500 subscribers. So I'm going to do I'm going to have a conspiracy, kind of like I'm reading way too far into this, which has 775,000 views almost. And it was a very kind of TMZ-esque video. And ever since then, it's been just TMZ-esque. So I wonder if he saw the initial like bump in, holy crap, a lot of people like this video style that I did, which is kind of more clickbaity, TMZ-esque. So he's been making that kind of style ever since. I don't see a single How Rich Are They, Your Boy Alfred video, and I'm so disappointed. I can't even look at this anymore. It's making me
It is a bummer. I mean, that may just be the direction he's going, which I think stinks. And I think the other version, I don't know, maybe this has a more mainstream audience, but I was like a loyal Alfred fan. I am no longer. And so, you know, maybe he's getting more views on this. Maybe that's the direction he wants to go. Maybe that makes him happy, but he may
selling
have
out
lost a couple true fans. Yeah. Which is a bummer.
But I just think, and I've waxed poetic and like, I mean, he's, he doesn't have like 2 billion views, so it's not like he's a ginormous, but like it was, that's the beauty of YouTube, is that you can find these little niche kind of content creators that are just like, yeah, this is like my element. I love his style. It's so weird, yet I just know what to expect. It's so different. And to see him do this other kind of style, it's very disappointing. Like you mentioned, I was a fan. I think Matt and I kind of half jokingly, but kind of half for real mentioned, like, I want to buy a, like, you know, a t-shirt. Like, I would buy a mug that says your boy Alfred or something on it with, like, you know, like George Washington smoking a blunt or something. Like, that's like his like little channel banner. I would be willing to splurge, you know, for some money. But now it seems, and I could be wrong, prove me wrong, Alfred, or if that's your actual name, that it's just another run-of-the-mill kind of drama channel that's just clickbaity. It just is not, it's just not for me. Again, maybe you're listening and maybe you like that stuff. More power to you. Different strokes for different folks. Maybe he'll find more success this way. But I'm really bummed out that it's kind of migrated. I didn't intend for this podcast to be like a...
Such a downer, man.
Yeah, like a downer. Like, I'm like lamenting the death of one of my favorite channels. I say that. I didn't even know what happened until like I was doing research
on
this.
It's not dead.
But
it's like, you know, when you graduate high school with someone and then you go check up on them on Facebook like half a decade later and you're like, wow, our lives went in very different directions. It's like,
yeah,
I have not
exactly.
kept tabs on you recently. Wow, you're like... totally different.
And again, I mean, it's his channel. He can do whatever he wants with it. So I wish him luck. So let's kind of just, I'm going to try and wrap this up a little
bit.
Yeah.
So you said the new channel may not be for you, but is there anything that you learned from the channel in your heart that may be for you and your current and future viewers?
I think, I mean, definitely in that awesome kind of comment you mentioned about just putting stuff out there. Obviously, you know, you spend time to make each video that you push out to be of as high quality as you possibly can.
Right.
But I have a tendency to agonize over a video and I want to make it perfect, and it stretches it out for a few months. Plus, I'm just a lazy mofo, which I need to not be that way anymore.
Yeah, finding
again,
that idea factory,
like,
I think,
like,
is so key.
Each week, yeah, just finding that idea factory, pumping it out there, and just going for it. And just trying to build that consistency and to grow as a creator. Pretty much this is what I learned from almost every YouTube, whether it's Red Letter Media, whether it's this guy, it's they are consistent. And regardless, like I mentioned, I don't like the way the channel is kind of moving now, but dude's put up like 2 videos today, and like he's put so many videos this week. I mean, that's one of the ways that you grow your channel and grow your subscriber base, and you get kind of, you know, you bust your own YouTube. So I need to start busting my hump. Got to find that idea nugget and run with it. And
bust
the nugget. T-shirts available. No, but that's my biggest thing. Matt, what about you? Anything you learned from?
Man, I think you nailed it. Just Alfred. Like, I think finding that attention getter, that kernel of a great thing that's going to reel people in, and is just worthy of attention, and then learning how to pair that with an idea factory so that you don't have to slave away trying to find the perfect combination of what format of video is going to work, have a workhorse of a format and a style and a lot of things ready to go, and then be able to take that interesting idea and strike while the iron's hot and put out something consistently so you're not just constantly burning out. I think that's great. I need to level up my process in that area. And
same.
I'm excited to do that, and it'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I have an idea, Nugget. Why should people give us feedback, and why should they give us 5-star reviews?
Well, on the one hand,
it was dumb, but just go for it.
It's okay. Yeah. Good effort on the segue. Number one reason is I'm going to sell out harder than your boy Alfred. If you don't, no, I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness, the reviews that we get, which we read every single one,
we do,
and they're super awesome. This last one we got, I really love from A. Spoonamore, which says, a must listen for content creators and startup founders. And he says, I'm a developer with a mobile app, and I'm always looking for new tips about how to grow my brand and increase awareness about my app. This podcast is exactly what I've been wanting, and every episode teaches me something new and exciting. Thank you, A. Spoonamore. Many thanks. That is
thank
awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and just reviews like that warm my heart and bring a smile to my face. So, yeah, it's awesome, and it helps new people find the podcast, and it spreads love around. It's much, much appreciated. So go leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review on iTunes. You can hit up the link in the podcast description, or you can go to 6starsonly.com/13, grab the cliff notes of this episode, find any links we talked about, and leave us some love. Yeah, I think that's about it. And by the way, if you guys are working on any videos, I personally would love to see what you're working on. So if you send any to 6starsonly@gmail.com or just hit me up on Twitter. I am at Matopher, at MATOPHER. Tweet me the link. I'd love to check it out, give you feedback, or just any other stuff that you're creating. It doesn't have to be a video. It can be something else. Just following the lessons we've learned together on this podcasting journey. But I'd love to check it out. Give back some love.
Yeah. It's only fair you guys comment on us, give us feedback. We would love to share the feedback love with other people.
Yeah.
I'm doing awful with these segues. But yeah, that's basically the episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we will be back next week for another episode of 6 Stars Only. Matt, I think that's it.
Adios.
So, man.
Cool.
Whales see ya. Forever.
Best cheese
Whales.
Cracker.
Watch my videos, Jake Arndt, on YouTube. Support.